Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Electric trains fascinate boys and girls. Anyone, actually. And steam locomotives appeal to the child still living in every adult. If you don't know about the original 1925 Baldwin Steam Locomotive No. 21 and the Astoria Railroad Preservation Association, well, today you're going to find out some very exciting things, because there are plans for a real steam engine locomotive train to make a debut here next year, just in time for Astoria's 200th birthday. Volunteers have been working very hard for many, many years to bring this about. The Astoria Railroad Preservation Association is an educational nonprofit corporation dedicated to promoting public awareness of railroad history through the preservation and operation of vintage railway equipment. A first-ever historical presentation and fundraiser for the Astoria Railroad Preservation Association is taking place this Saturday night at the Liberty Theater in the McTavish Room. We'll find out more about that terrific event, which I hope we will all come out and support, from my guest today, which is John Neiman. He is president of ARPA, Astoria Railroad Preservation Association, and Dan Hauer is here, and he is the treasurer. Thanks for being here today, Dan.
Thank you very much, Donna.
And nice to see you in the studio, John.
Yeah, thank you, Donna.
I remember I came down to look at the parts of the steam locomotive a couple of years ago, I think.
Yes, I believe
and,
so, yeah.
And met you there, indeed. Well, before we talk about this incredible project that you all have been working on, let's hear a little bit about each one of you. So, Dan, tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Well, I have grown up in Astoria my entire life. And
the famous Hauer family. Everyone
that's
loves
right.
The Hauers.
I work down at Hauer's Lawn Care and Equipment, and I also in a apartment building that I maintain with my family. And through my entire life, I've, you know, as a kid, I always remember playing with electric trains down in the basement on the pool table. We always had that except more than playing pool. And finally, when as I got older, opportunity came along to where I could actually play with real trains. And that's when I got involved in the Railroad Association.
Okay, and which formed in 1991.
That's right.
And John, tell us about yourself.
Well, kind of a jack of all trades, but I'm a welder, machinist, engineer. I just love mechanical stuff, and I'm one of those guys that if you take it apart, that's where the learning is. You know, see, if anything I see, you got to, you know, take it apart. Putting it back together is always a trick, but because there's no fun in that anymore. You know, the learning curve is in the taking apart. But now we're putting stuff back together on the locomotive, and that's the learning curve is actually ramping up pretty good there on the putting it back together.
How did this idea first come about? Because you've been involved since the very beginning.
Well, years ago, my ex-wife, bless her heart, surprised me for my birthday. And there was a couple locomotives up in Portland that are all volunteer organizations. And I think everybody's pretty familiar with the Daylight, the 4449. And there's the 700, the SPNS 700. And I had worked on them a little bit, but it was just too far to travel to Portland every Saturday to go work on a locomotive and come back. So 700 got fired up, and they made a run, and my wife surprised me and took me up there to Ellensburg is where they were running. And it was a dinner train, and we went up there, and I thought, you know, Astoria, this would just perfectly fit. We have the railroad tracks. We have the old depot. And we have a lot of really good, talented machinists, welders, and it just looked like perfect fit for Astoria. So I started looking around, and we found a locomotive.
Before we talk more about that, and I want us to talk about looking around and finding the locomotive, why don't we define some of these terms that people may not be familiar with? If someone's listening, they say, well, what exactly is a locomotive, and what's a steam engine locomotive?
Well, a locomotive is the power source. That's what pulls the trains. All the cars are basically have no power. They have their own brakes. This is good for passenger and freight. But the locomotive is the power. That's what converts fuel or electricity in some cases, and puts it to the wheels to pull things.
So, for example, if we're watching the movie Dr. Zhivago and we see these wonderful old black steam engine locomotives that they have, you can see the wheels turning on the outside, you can see the cranks, and then inside there's a firebox called a tender, and they're burning, what are they burning?
Well, this is the evolution of what happened. First of all, old James Watt made the steam engine back in the 1700s, and they were figured out that by boiling water, if they were somehow able to harness the steam coming off of it, that could be transmitted through pistons, the back and forth motion into through crankshafts running rotary motion, which is for any transportation needs wheels other than ships. So as things evolved, they started getting bigger and bigger. So a steam locomotive basically has a fire. It has its boiler, which converts water into steam through fire, and they would burn whatever was around. Now, ours came from Southern California near Santa Barbara, where there were oil fields, so it burned oil. Most of the East Coast locomotives in Pennsylvania, since they had the big coal fields there, were made to burn coal. If you go over to Maui and look at theirs, they have been converted to oil. But in the past, the steam locomotives in the sugarcane fields would burn the sugarcane, what was left over. The logging locomotives around here, you see all the pictures of the wood stacked up. Well, they had wood around. So you burned whatever it was as fuel. The common thing is they boiled the water, made the steam, and then that's what they used to drive them.
So a locomotive, okay, a steam engine locomotive then is the powerhouse, and so there's always a fire burning to heat the water, to produce the steam, to create the power, and who rides in the locomotive? Who's doing that?
Well, you have two people in a typical steam locomotive. You have the guy that sits on the right-hand side, who's the engineer, who's in charge of driving the locomotive. He pulls the throttle, applies the brakes, makes the thing go forward, reverse. On the left-hand side, Terry's telling me, he blows the whistle too. Usually what happens when we run these things now, there's just about 10 people up in the cab, and there's always, everybody
the whistle's always
gets,
going.
The whistle is always going. And it is kind of fun. On the left-hand side, there's a fireman, and his job is to make sure there's always enough water in the boiler so you don't run it dry. These things burn a lot of fuel and boil a lot of water. At speed, which we will never run because of track limits, meaning the track is rated for a certain speed, but our locomotive is good to about 55 miles an hour with the size drivers on it. It will turn about 25 to 30 gallons of water into steam a minute and burn several gallons of oil a minute. But you also got to realize it's pretty close to about 7,000 horsepower.
And it weighs 81 tons.
It weighs 81 tons.
That's amazing.
And that's before you add any of the passenger cars or anything behind it.
Right.
That's
okay.
Just
that's just
the locomotive itself.
Okay, the power source. So then in the power source, you have your fuel, which is the oil, which you're going to burn for the steam. And then you have your water.
Yes, and that's carried in what's called the tender. And the last couple years, with a grant from the Oregon Community Foundation and a lot of local support, we have reconstructed the tender. We totally stripped it down, sandblasted it, redid all the wheels, redid the brakes, built a completely new 6,000-gallon water tank. And we did most of that work out at Mertz, using the high school kids through the shop classes out there, and got those guys involved, and guys and gals, and they pounded over 3,500 rivets to build that water tank, and we built it exactly like the old one. So the tender's all done, and if anybody's down by the trolley barn, that big black thing on the wheels that looks brand new, that's it.
Oh, that's it's so exciting that you're really close to being able to get this out on the tracks.
The tender is... I'm just going to add, just for everybody's knowledge here, if you remember playing with your little Lionel train set, the tender is basically what your dad or grandpa called the coal car. It's hooked directly behind the locomotive. All it does is carry the fuel and carry the water that we're constantly needing of replenishing.
So there are two pieces then. The tender is not in the locomotive.
No.
So there's the locomotive and then the tender, and then after, behind the tender, is a passenger car.
As many cars as you want.
Or as many cars as you want. Okay, good, good. All right. And I think people might be interested in where you found this wonderful locomotive, steam locomotive engine, train engine, and you found it. How did you find it exactly, and what was it doing before you found it?
Well, before the internet, it was a little different, but what happened is we got back to ask Story. I talked around to some people and said, hey, would you support this? The city, all the machine shops, all the people who had the equipment to do this, some of the people I thought would be key on the project, and everybody said, yeah, that's a great idea. Go find one. So we basically started it in a spiral. And even back then, there were books of all the surviving steam locomotives. And you'd be surprised how many there really are. A lot of them were in parks back then. But if you go on the internet, there's a good locomotive or a site called steamlocomotive.com. Easy for everybody to do. And it lists all these surviving steam locomotives in North America and Mexico that are still around and where they're at. But anyway, we just did a spiral, and of course, once you find one, do they want to get rid of it? And we were not blessed that when steam disappeared and went away pretty quick in the early 50s, a lot of these cities, municipalities would say, ask for a donation from a steam locomotive, and they'd put them in a park. And that's where how a lot of them survived. But anyway, we found this one up in Snoqualmie, and they were looking to sell it, which was a good match. We came back and raised the $27,000 price that we paid for it. And if everybody comes to the thing, and I hope they do on Saturday, we got some pictures of how we found this thing in the woods and what it looked like. And I think everybody will be even more impressed on the work we have done.
It is exciting because it was all in pieces. And could you just briefly also say why steam engines just suddenly went away? And are there any other places where steam engines are still being used?
They're
other than just as a tourist attraction, other than just as a, you know, like a living museum.
They're pretty much done now. There are, China ran them up until about 10 years ago, and we're still building new ones because it's the nice thing about steam locomotives, they're fairly easy to work on, but they require a lot of work. But China wanted to upgrade their image, so they did away with them, and they're pretty much back into the diesel electrics. The main thing that killed the steam locomotive was their fuel efficiency, for one, and the fact that the steam locomotive, they just kept getting bigger and bigger, but it took an engineer and a fireman to run each one. The diesel electrics, which everybody, diesel locomotive, that diesel actually powers a generator which drives electric motors, the same thing the trolley's got, except a lot bigger, called traction motors. The nice thing about being able to do that is, number one, you can hook as many of them together, and just by plugging them in, still only one engineer needs to control the whole thing. You really don't need the firemen up there. And as a matter of fact, they don't even carry firemen anymore. They carry conductors. So you got rid of the labor. The old adage with the difference, another difference, steam locomotive, diesel electric, is, and of course, in the new age of electronics, and Dan, how good are you at hooking up your VCR or program?
If the cables are color coded, yep, we can do it, right?
The old adage was, a steam locomotive, it could take one guy to tell you what was wrong with it, but it'd take 100 guys to fix it. Whereas the diesel electric, it may take 100 guys to finally figure out what's wrong with it in the wiring and whatnot. and only one guy to fix it.
That is very funny. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn, and my guests today are Dan Hauer. He is the treasurer of the Astoria Railroad Preservation Association, and John Neiman, who is the president of the Astoria Railroad Preservation Association. There is a fundraiser this Saturday night at the Liberty Theater in the McTavish Room. And Dan, why don't you tell us, why are you doing a fundraiser, and what is going to be happening on Saturday night?
Well, where we're at in the restoration progress is we've done a tremendous amount of work. We've rebuilt parts of the boiler. We've rebuilt the smoke box, which is the very front part of the locomotive. We've rebuilt the inside firebox where the fuel gets burned. And we're at the point to where the water's turned into steam. We need to put the tubes in order to convert that water into steam. And the tube is one of the last things we wanted to do, because once you start putting them in, then a time clock goes as far as when you have to replace them next. And so we're at that point to where we need to put the tubes in at this point. And so our fundraiser is to go ahead and install the, what is it, John, 149?
There's 149 tubes, and then 28 what's called superheater flues. They're bigger. They're 5-inch in diameter.
And with that combination of them, that's what helps convert all that steam into power. And this fundraiser will generate enough funds to be able to buy all the tubes and flues at once, to where we can go ahead and get the bulk price on the metal and start the installation process.
Okay. What I'm looking at, it's very impressive what you all have managed to do pretty much on a shoestring. It really is quite amazing. The Clatsop Roundhouse, which is your newsletter, talks about the tubes, and it talks about this thing which is called the boiler tube drive, which is why they're saying right now you need to get the tubes, and the tubes are $100 each, the flues are $500 each. And what's really cool, what an incredible gift this would make, is you get a souvenir. You get an old piece of the steam locomotive number 29. You get an authentic piece, which you could frame, which you could put of that steam engine.
Yes. What happens when we buy the tubes, they always come a little bit longer. And the end that we're going to chop off, we'll mount it to a little plaque and give you a little placard on there that tells you what tube number it is and what locomotive, and you can display it on your mantle. And I think it's going to look pretty cool.
I think it's a great gift for people. And one thing I also appreciate is the fact that you have not only men and women working volunteers there now. And I ask you, what do you really need now? What does the Astoria Railroad Preservation Association need to get old 21 or whatever she's got? Well, Nate, she's going to have Astoria and Columbia River Railroad on her side, correct?
Yes. We have gotten that was the original railroad that was built from here to Global. And they started playing around with the idea in the middle 1890s, but it was finally completed. I believe I'm going to be off by a year, but I think it was 1897, and it was licensed and incorporated as the Astoria and Columbia River Railroad. And we have dutifully paid our fee to the Commerce Department, and we have got the rights to that designated business name. So
if you want to be part of the Astoria and Columbia River Railroad, you can. And I just got a listener who called in and said, are contributions tax deductible? Yes, they are, because you are a 501c3 nonprofit.
Absolutely.
Which is great. So for those of you listening, I really encourage you to go to the fundraiser. Actually, it's going to be fun. There are complimentary hors d'oeuvres from Uniontown Catering. There's a no-host bar, a slideshow on the history of steam. This is great for children, great for kids.
Yeah, I think everybody's going to have a good time. We got some good pictures, and we have gone back through some of the pictures are old photos that we were never able to present very well, you know, and modern age, the steam engine comes to modern age. We've been able to scan those, and they've actually come out really good. And otherwise, and it'd be me showing Dan here, oh, look at this picture right
flipping
here.
Flipping through the stack of photos.
Yeah.
We're much further along than that.
There's going to be some good pictures, I think.
And what I think also is great is that you have all these volunteers, and you said you actually could use more volunteers. And then when I said, well, what kind of training do you have to have? I mean, I've never worked on a steam locomotive, so what would I be able to contribute? And then what you said back was?
Well, there's a whole range of things that can be done. Of course, there are parts where machinists and welders, but there's a lot of stuff anywhere from picking up a paintbrush to painting a part to helping file paperwork. There's, you know, any ability we can put to use. And I've been amazed over the years that the different people have been involved, that some people start off that, don't have any experience. Over the years, they pick up and we'll have them turn in a lathe later on, a few years down the road. It's a matter of what you're willing to do, and if you're willing to get dirty, or if you just want to stay and keep your hands clean, there's a job for everyone.
Well, right. Actually, John even mentioned you need some filing, some paperwork, some help with a newsletter. You know what? As you're saying this to me, I'm seeing that this could be a great community service project if you have people who come in from out of town or groups and they say, look, we have a half a day or a school project and we want to come and devote some hours to, and they could be cleaning and polishing parts or doing a little bit of painting or doing some filing and all that kind of thing. So that's because this is not only going to boost the idea of having in a way you're offering us another museum here in Estero. I mean, Estero, we already have these great museums. Now you're going to be a living museum that people can take a ride on.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Correct. And it's there isn't anyone who goes down there doesn't learn something. And one of the main things everybody comes down is they definitely learn to respect what our grandparents used to work in. This was day-to-day life for them, and to us, it's just impressive what they did.
Well, there's a certain magic associated with this. I mean, from films that we've seen and grown up with through our childhoods, and this is a way of taking us back in time. And there's a romance to that. There's a mystery. There's some element we're really missing in modern-day society.
One of the best stories I like about this engine is the original locomotive, number 21, came from the Santa Maria Valley Railroad, and the owner of the railroad was Captain Hancock, and he was good friends with someone you may know, Walt Disney. And we actually have photos of Walt Disney and Captain Hancock going down the tracks in number 21.
So number 21 has had Walt Disney,
yes,
as a passenger.
Yes.
Yeah, they were good friends, and Walt would come up, and this locomotive was, there's a good, if anybody wants to Google it, is Google Captain Alan Hancock. And it's a pretty interesting story, but this was his private, he bought the railroad out of receivership. First thing he did is he bought this locomotive. He was the first engineer and the last engineer, and it was his private little pet. And Walt would come up on the Sundays and they'd fire up the locomotive and go play engineer, you know. And it actually kind of got Walt started as far as his love of trains too.
That's a great story. And I know that it said for 37 years, and you have a great website, by the way, if you're interested in going to the website, it is Astoria RR.
Yeah. All you have to do is Google Astoria Railroad and it'll be the first thing that comes up.
Right. Or AstoriaRR.org.
RR.org.
Right. Okay. Exactly. And it's a very informative website, and because it talks about how this locomotive, this steam locomotive, which is now going to be part of the Astoria and Columbia River Railroad, for 37 years it pulled loads of sugar beets, vegetables, and petroleum products. And so now your vision is that this will pull people.
Yes, that's what we would like to do, and what our goal is to take off from the depot.
The Astoria Depot.
The Astoria Depot. Go upriver, about an hour and a half worth, up and back. Total time, okay? The main reason for that is we can keep the cost down. Everybody coming into town, the typical cost right now is about $15 for that type of ride, between $15 and $20. Pretty much even a family of four can, you know, got an extra $80 to ride on an old steam locomotive. Everybody's got an hour and a half to spend. Even all the cruise ship passengers that are coming down, they come in, walk into town. Everybody's got an hour and a half to do it. And I think it would be very popular to make several runs a day.
It would be a great boon to tourism here, I think. I can see that, absolutely. And Terry just gave me the sign. We only have a few minutes left here. So what you are asking right now from the listening audience and from all of the people who care about this region, who care about history, who care about railroads, is to support the Astoria Railroad Preservation Association by not only volunteering, whatever, if you have time, but also come to the Saturday night at 7 p.m. in the McTavish Room at the Liberty Theater. And the entrance to that, by the way, is on 12th Street, which is right next to Jonathan's, which is also where the Supper Club is. And to meet some of the people who are doing this work and bringing this living history to life.
Yes,
absolutely. And the other thing is, if you aren't able to make it, you know, we do have a, go to our website and you can check out information on that. And then also, you can
buy the tubes and flues.
Definitely.
Yeah, the tubes and flues. Right. I mean, that's that. I think I can imagine being at a party and say, well, have you gotten your tube yet or your flue yet? And, you know, this is a great conversation. And guess what? I have my piece of an authentic original steam locomotive. And I would ask about this number 21. Will you like break a bottle of champagne on it when it's, you know, like when you bring it out? Is it, will it, they don't have names, but they have numbers, steam engines.
Correct. They, and this one will be number 21. It's pretty renowned all over the world as number one.
Or it's number as 21. 21. Okay, number 21.
And,
So it'll be a big ceremony. I almost think it would be great fun at the Astoria. Of course, the Astoria train depot is so old with the beautiful old brick, to have people in costume, you know, from that era when people would have been taking this train, and great photo opportunities, that's for sure. Any last minute things that you would like the listening public to know?
Well, of course, we want to thank them for coming out, and we invite everyone to come down Saturday night, 7 p.m. to the McTavish Room and support the Railroad Association.
And if you can't make it and you want to make a donation online, you want to make, there's a phone number, there's an address, you can check out their website, astoriarr.org, or just Google Astoria Railroad. And then right now it's being kept in different parts, in different places throughout Astoria.
Yeah, our major site where we're at is 466 West 46. Marine Drive, which is the baby blue, used to be kind of rusty Quonset hut. Down by the Port of Astoria, and swing by there, look in the windows, open, rattle the doors, come on in, take a look.
Okay, and then you're welcome to stop by and to visit the website. And we have another listener calling in. I mean, I just think the steam locomotive is just, it really is exciting for people.
We got to have this thing done.
Yeah, absolutely. No, now we have to have it done next year. I mean, wouldn't it be great when Lord Astor comes over from England, and he's Astor the, he's actually Lord Heaver, Lord of Heaver, John Astor the 8th, I believe he is. When he comes over, wouldn't it be great to be able to have him ride on Astoria's very own steam locomotive?
And blow the whistle.
Yes. And blow the whistle. Exactly. Well, we did invite, you know, the Astoria Bicentennial has invited President Obama. We could offer him a ride, too. But and so how far upriver will you go, do you think?
At the speed limit, what we're going, and we need to be able to run the locomotive around the train, which means a siding with switches on each end of the siding. There's one at Napa Dock, and that would be probably about right.
Okay, good. And more to come, more information. You can get much more information. You can meet John, you can meet Dan, you can meet lots of terrific men and women who've been working on this for many, many years to make this a reality. So support our new living museum, the Astoria Railroad Preservation Association. Okie doke. Thanks so much, Dan. Thank you very much, John.
Thank you.
And thank you, Terry Wilson, engineer extraordinaire, and local talented banjo instructor Michael Brunn for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath with gratitude for all the good things in your life and focus on those good things, expand those good things, and then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, for doing the best you can, and for being here now in this moment on the amazing planet we call Earth.